Ah, well, it's fantastic to be down here. Metro, lovely to see you. I've met some of you before, but I know there's plenty of people that I haven't met before. So my name's Tim Dobson. Just a little bit about me. I'm married, one wife, two children, two boys. Actually, one's going to get married in a week on Saturday. So I'm kind of, I think old was the adjective that Matt was looking for a bit earlier on. I'm part of the leadership team of the Woodlands Group of Churches, but particularly on a Sunday morning, I lead a congregation that meets in Southmead, if any of you have been to Southmead. But I know there were some Metro teams that came up for the noise 2 weekends ago, and I know some of you came to help a friend of mine called Lou to clear her garden, and some of you up on the Monday as well. So as a local kind of Southmead kind of church leader, again, thank you so much for coming up to our community, for showing God's love in a very practical way. Really appreciate that. That same weekend, I think there's almost 900 people from around the city were out and about just showing God's love with the community action projects and the fun afternoons. But that same weekend up at Southmead, we had two baptisms. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever seen a baptism, but at church, we've got this pool we fill full of water. And when people make a choice to follow Jesus, one of the things the Bible says is for them to be baptized. And they stand in the water, they make some promises, and we slosh them under and count to 10 and then pull them up again. And we baptized two people over the noise weekend at Southmead. One was a lady called Selma, and Selma... She's had a quite troubled background, quite addictive with alcohol and with drugs, and her life was really in free fall. And she encountered somebody who showed her a bit of kindness and love, and she was a Christian. And she started to ask questions about kind of why, when the whole of the world's against me, when kind of people are trying to abuse me, why do you care for me? And they started to explain about what it meant to be a Christian. And over about 2 or 3 years, Selma wonderfully became a Christian. And life for her really turned around big time. And so she stood there in this pool, and she just wanted to tell people, this is the love of God that rescued me. This is the love of God that saved me. And we baptized Selma. The other person we baptized was a girl called Rosie. She's 19. And I suppose her life experience is very different to Selma, in that she was brought up in a Christian household and some great parents who tried to kind of bring her up to know what's right and how to live properly. And again, as a young adult, she wanted to say for herself, it wasn't just her parents' faith, it was her own faith. And although they'd done a fantastic job at bringing her up she wanted to say for her that now, from here on in, life was living full on for Jesus. And it was great to see people out and about in the community, as well as these two people making these statements of Jesus has changed my life. And I suppose as I, for the rest of Noise Weekend, was out and about around Bristol, I thought, what if every broken life, like Selma's life, could be rescued by Jesus? What if every life that had been abused and become addicted, what if everyone like Selma could find a freedom and a hope and a forgiveness and something like for the future that was bright and not contained and restrictive and hostile? And I thought, what if every child that grew up in the city of Bristol could be like Rosie, and somehow every child could be cared for and nurtured and loved? Kind of what if, and I had, what if the city could truly be like that, where every broken person is healed, every lost person is found, every child has dignity and hope? And something inside me thought, God, could you do that? And I felt God was saying, yes. Through my church, through people that love me and follow me, we can see a person changed at a time. Whether it's a person like Selma, or a person like Rosie, or a person like you. There's something about the power and the love and the wonder of the good news in Jesus that has the possibility for changing our city. And that's why I was so pleased when Philip asked if I'd come and speak on this series on infectious, because what the deal is, here at Metro, you can be people, once you've encountered Jesus, that you can be infectious. You can share that love and hope and peace with your friends. And they may not be as chaotic as Selma, and they may not have had such a kind of a nurtured upbringing as Rosie. But each one of us, if we receive and know and accept the profound love of God ourselves, we can be then infectious to share that. And my hope is that every person, you may be here as a visitor on the outside and you're looking in this evening, which is fantastic to have you here. And maybe you even sense there is something. Maybe there's something for you tonight of hope and forgiveness. Maybe for you, you might be a bit like Salma and you think, if I could find some hope, if I could find some peace, if I could find some forgiveness this evening, wow, I would take that with both hands. But what we're going to look at this evening is to follow on from Philip's talk and from Alex's talk and say, well, what's it truly mean to be people that could truly change a city one person at a time? And then Philip on that first one said about being enlisted. We're enlisted to take that good news to our friends. I think he even got you to kind of write some names down. Here's some people that I maybe could pray for. I maybe could take the opportunity to share my faith. Alex last week was saying that we've all had our own experiences. For some of you, you may have had loads of Christian experiences. For some of you, not so many. But each one have got some experiences that we share. And Alex gave those five top tips of things that kind of could really help you to share your faith. But I don't know if you, in listening to those talks, maybe a little bit like me as a teenager, and you think, oh, it's okay for Philip, it's okay for Alex. But for me, I just feel I don't know enough. I feel a bit shy and a bit timid. I feel that people might laugh at me. I feel that kind of I've tried and I've failed really badly. And kind of this theory is fine, but Tim, you don't know what my life's like. And I feel kind of, I don't feel I've got enough power or enough strength or enough ability to be infectious, to do the stuff that Jesus is calling us to do. And that's why this week we're looking at the whole thing about being empowered. What's it mean for us not to feel that we have to be good enough ourselves, not to have to generate enough kind of enthusiasm ourselves, but there's something about God who wants to give you power and boldness and strength. He wants to empower you to be infectious in our world. He wants to empower you to see the good news of Jesus change the people that are in your workplace, people you study with, people in your family. And so we're going to look just this evening just a bit about how is it that we find the power of God helps us to achieve that transformation in our city and with our friends. And in the kind of the history of the church, this particular Sunday is a Sunday in the year where it's called Pentecost Sunday. Now, you might have heard of Christmas and Easter, but you might be on the fringe and think, I've never heard of Pentecost. Well, Pentecost is a time where we remember the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to help the church, empower the church for changing the world, empower the church to be witnesses of his love and his compassion and his forgiveness. And what I want to do is I just want to read a bit of that, the first account of those people who followed Jesus, who had encountered Jesus, and how their lives were turned around. And then say for us tonight, how do we take something of the power of the Holy Spirit that they encountered, and how can we experience some of that ourselves? So here we go. This is what happened. So Jesus is talking to his friends. He says this: on one occasion, while Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the deal. If you wait, I'm going to send power. I'm going to send power from on high. I'm going to send power. And actually, when you receive this power, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and actually to the utmost parts of the world. And this was like, it was like the kind of the church equivalent of the Big Bang. Do you know, the Big Bang that kind of, and somehow this is, and the universe kind of expanded. And here on the day of Pentecost, was saying, I'm going to send you some Holy Spirit power. I'm going to empower you so that this good news of Jesus is going to explode from Jerusalem through Judea, through Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. This promise of power. So there was the promise. They'd waited. A week or so later, it says this: when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. But later on it says this, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, oh, they've had too much wine to drink. But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Not time to get drunk, is it 9 o'clock in the morning? Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel was somebody who was, if you read your Bible, was one of the Old Testament people who had this message from God. And it was a message of, in the future, this wonderful thing is going to happen. In this future, in God's plan through history, well, here's what it says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized. A bit like Simon Rosie. Each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. And you know what? That is us. Sat here at Bristol, year 2016, that promise that the Holy Spirit will be here for us. And I think this is kind of, for me, this challenge of being an infectious Christian, this challenge of being somebody that shared faith and took the opportunities. I must admit, temperamentally, I'm quite a shy person. Now, you might think, well, you stood up there, bright lights, talking. But let me say, on the inside, I'm quite naturally a shy person. And as a teenager, I was somebody who, I followed Jesus, I tried to trust him, but I wouldn't talk to anybody, I wouldn't let anybody know exactly what I thought. I wouldn't be brave enough even to invite people along to church or to hear. I was quite shy and timid. And I remember going to a meeting and kind of, it wouldn't have been much bigger than this, and somebody started to talk about these verses and started to say, do you know what? There is the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the God the Holy Spirit is the God who's everywhere. And the Holy Spirit can fill you and equip you and empower you and strengthen you. And they said, all you need to do is just open up your inside, open up your heart, open up your life and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to help me and to fill me. And a number of people kind of were doing that in this meeting. And you kind of felt, oh, there's a bit of power in this room, a bit of supernatural power, and strange things start to happen to a few people. And I was, as a teenager, quite intrigued to kind of watch what's going on. But I thought, I wonder if, because I do want to follow Jesus, but I just feel so disempowered, I feel so useless and such a failure, I wonder if the Holy Spirit could help me. And I just closed my eyes and I just said, Holy Spirit, will you fill me? And do you know what happened? Nothing. I mean, I didn't kind of, there was other people there and they were laughing funnily, and there were some people actually fell down on the floor, a bit strange. Some people kind of were groaning, and I said, Holy Spirit, will you fill me? And felt nothing. And I went back home, and I suppose I was kind of a little bit disappointed. I thought, they were talking about kind of being a Christian, you could be empowered by God, and you saw all this stuff. And I remember kind of praying, said, well, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me, I want you to help me. And do you know what I found? I found the next day when I went to school, I just had this new power on the inside, a new kind of boldness, a new confidence, not to be a kind of a brash, obnoxious Christian, but somebody who was just, I just knew that I followed Jesus. I knew that he was the only person in life is worthwhile following. I knew that what he said was true. I knew that he loved all my classmates. And I knew, do you know what, if they were only to find out about him, I'm sure Jesus would change their life too. And I just found, I didn't become a kind of an outrageous, kind of brash person, but I found inside a power, a boldness, a confidence that empowered me to share my faith with my friends. And that's just briefly what I want to say that this evening to us here, is that the Holy Spirit can help you. And the Holy Spirit, I suppose, helps to do two things. The Holy Spirit helps you to act like Jesus and behave like Jesus. To act like Jesus, we'll start there. There's something that I don't know about you on your journey of faith, whether when you read the gospel accounts, you read about the life of Jesus, is there a kind of a tug or a pull towards, this man is the most incredible man that's ever lived. This man, if I was to have any kind of hero, any kind of person that I was to shape my life around, it would be Jesus. And there's something about molding and shaping our lives around who he is and what he's like that I think is the good news. And the good news is the Holy Spirit, he helps us when we want to try and share our faith, to be infectious, to be something that can change a life at a time, to change our city. The Holy Spirit helps you to act like Jesus. So you read through the accounts of Jesus and of the Gospels, and Jesus is somebody, and he does speak with real confidence and power and clarity. And the Holy Spirit can help you to give you that same kind of boldness. He was somebody who wandered around, and when there was injustice, he wasn't ashamed and embarrassed to stand up for what's true. There was, again, a confidence and a boldness to stand up against the oppressors and the religious people of the days. But there was also a power that was a supernatural power, a power that when he encountered people who were sick, he healed them. When there were people who were troubled and plagued by dark thoughts and demonic oppression and possession, just with a word, he said, be gone. And they were set free and delivered from these dark forces. He was somebody that seemed to have a power that the kingdom of God was coming on earth as it was in heaven. Now, you might say, well, Jesus could do that because Jesus was the Son of God. And yes, he was. But the thing is about the Holy Spirit comes to help you to act like Jesus too. The Holy Spirit can help you to have the same boldness and the same confidence to stand up against injustice, to share the good news about forgiveness and hope that can only be found in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit can help you to find that boldness. But the Holy Spirit can also help you to do things that are supernatural too. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of weird. And I suppose I used to be a physics teacher. A secondary school physics teacher. I kind of still have occasional nervous twitch. But I love science. I love the world in which we live. I love the sense of cause and effect and finding out the laws and understanding how a world is put together. But I, as a 12-year-old, encountered something that science couldn't explain. I encountered something that was a supernatural. In fact, it was a healing, like the healings we read about Jesus in the Bible. And I was just 12 years old, and we used to live in Norfolk, and we were coming back from a school, and my mum collected us, and we were, it was a November evening, driving on this country lane, and this lorry had done a three-point turn, and it just kind of stalled across this little country lane, and my mum kind of came up the little brow of a hill, didn't see the lorry, and whack, straight into the side of it. Our little mini kind of halved in size. We didn't have to wear safety. I'm just to show you how old I was. You didn't have to wear safety belts in those days. I was thrown through the windscreen, badly cut up. But my mum was really seriously injured, and she was in hospital for two months, because when she'd got on impact, she kind of locked her arms and legs, and the bottom part of her leg came up through her knee into the top part, It wasn't broken. All the bones were in fragments and pieces. And she was in hospital, and for 2 months, those five quite major operations, they tried to put all these fragments back together to make the knee joint work. And eventually they had to give up and say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Dobson, but we can't do anything about that. You'll have to be in a wheelchair. We're really sorry. And so there I was with my mum, and whenever we went out, she's in a wheelchair. At home, she'd have a crutch, and she would kind of hobble around on her one good leg, pull herself around the house to try and still care for us as kids. But one day, some friends came, And they said this. They said, we read the Bible and Jesus healed people who are crippled. I wonder if you'd like us to pray for you. And they just, as people who follow Jesus, just said a very simple prayer. They said, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this leg to be healed. And this leg that was kind of went down like that, pile of bones, out to one side, as they prayed, it straightened up and it strengthened. I couldn't believe it. I was there next to my mum in this car accident, and now she was miraculously healed. And she's 83 years old, and she's still walking on both legs. And I encountered there a power from ordinary people. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled these Christians. And so we read in the next chapter that of the Acts of the Apostles, this book, that they go into the temple and there's a man who's crippled and he's asked them for money. And they say, silver and gold we haven't got, but what we have got, what would Jesus do? Jesus would say, get up and walk. So we'll do that. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And you know what? That man got up and walked. And there's something, you might think this is really weird and really strange, but being empowered means the Holy Spirit can give you the same power. The same power to act like Jesus. In fact, if you read further on in the Bible to a book called Ephesians, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit wants to give us gifts and abilities. Abilities to be able to act in our world like Jesus. If you want to see our world transformed and changed, there's this power to act like Jesus. And those gifts of the Spirit are things like faith and words of knowledge. There is healing and it's the ability to speak in tongues and interpret tongues. And you might think it's very strange and you may want to kind of chat to somebody, oh, what are these things? But they're gifts. And gifts from God are good things. It's not like a serpent or a snake, kind of a father doesn't give those to their kids. Yeah, give the kids good gifts. And the Father wants to give you good gifts. And in a moment or two, I want to pray. And if you'd like to receive the power to be his witness, the power that gives you the boldness and confidence to speak up for him when you feel shy and embarrassed, when you feel a failure, well, I'm going to pray in a moment for you to receive that power. It may be that you want to receive some of those gifts of the Spirit that really help you. I know there's times where I feel just a sensation or feel that God speaks to me and they're called words of knowledge and they're just things that kind of God says to people that they shouldn't normally know and those things maybe help to encourage people's faith to respond. I was praying beforehand and I wonder whether there might be somebody here this evening and you just got something wrong with your throat and that swallowing is quite painful. And just this evening, if you're here and you're like that and you'd like to come to the prayer sofas when we sing in a moment, I just have to pray. What if God's power could touch you and heal you? Maybe he could do that. Just the second thing. Not only does the Holy Spirit help us to empower us, but helps us to behave like Jesus. There's something about Jesus and his character that's so drawing, that's so admirable. And as a teenager, that I don't know if life was like for you as a teenager, but with my classmates, they were heroes. There was either a football player that you wanted to be like if you were good at football, or there was kind of an artist, a music artist that you wanted to be like, and kind of you do the little tricks like the football player, or you'd have the same hairstyle, the same clothes as the pop star, and you try and kind of model your life around them. And I read the stories about Jesus, and if I want to model my life on anybody, it would be Jesus. Because he was someone who had such love and compassion. He was somebody who, with the marginalized and the outcast, he had those kind words, the loving embrace. For those that were the no-hopers, the ones that always got it wrong, that the religious people looked down on, he would party with them. For those where he saw that people were being oppressed and abused, he was the person that stood up for them on their behalf. He was somebody who, even when it came to his death, false accusations spat at, his beard ripped out, beaten, nailed to the cross. Do you know what he said? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. A man of such amazing character. So kind of, who wouldn't want to be like him? And the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit helps us to come to behave like Jesus. He comes to transform us. And for some of you, you might think, I couldn't possibly be an infectious Christian because I know the rubbish that's in my life. I know my thought life. I know my attitude. I know my selfishness. And maybe for some of you this evening, you'd love to know the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be a better person, to behave, to act like Jesus. A Christian is a mini Christ, someone who acts like Jesus, who behaves like Jesus. That's an infectious way to live life. Paul, who's one of Jesus' first followers, he writes this, he talks about the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and it's like fruit that is growing in our lives. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit and says things like love and peace and joy, about being gentle and kind, patient, faithful, self-control, good people. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to behave like Jesus. And I mean, that's the deal, is that if you allow the Holy Spirit into your life, it said here about how tongues of fire came and the Holy Spirit burns out the rubbish to allow the good stuff to grow. I think the fruit of the Spirit is a bit like a tree. I don't know if you've ever how are you empowered to be a kind of a better Christian, to behave like Jesus? Sometimes we think, if only I could try a bit harder. If only I could try to be a bit more loving, try not to lose my temper. If only I could try not to be so greedy or so envious. And you, I don't know how many of you try, and when you try and try and try and try, you fail. How do you feel? Rotten, guilty, rubbish. But do you know what? The fruit of the Spirit is like a tree growing. And a tree, I don't know if you've got a tree in your garden. I have. I've never seen it. There's an apple tree at the bottom of my garden. I've never seen the apple tree straining. It's not there saying, apple tree, I'm going to grow some apples. Apples. Try to force the apples out of their branches. It's not how fruit grows, is it? A tree is open to the sunshine, to the water, the rain, get rid of all the biddies and the weeds, and fruit will grow. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. He wants, as I pray in a moment, he wants to fill you, to enable you to live the kind of life you've always wanted to live. And that fruit of the Spirit, as long as you're getting rid of the bad things, those insects that can eat away at the blossoms or the fruit, or the weeds that grow to kind of choke it so the nutrients don't get right into your life, as long as you're open to the love of God and to the presence of the water of the Holy Spirit, then those characteristics of Jesus will grow in you. And that's the fantastic thing about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows your insides and wants fruit to grow, wants to transform you to become more like Jesus. Now, if we're empowered by the Spirit to act like Jesus, if we're empowered by the Spirit to behave like Jesus, then do you know what? We need to ask the Holy Spirit. So we've got an ABC. We've got to act like Jesus, behave like Jesus. C, come Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer we're going to finish with. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, will you be here with us? Will you be here filling my life? Will you give me the power and the ability to act like Jesus? Will you transform me as a person so I can behave like Jesus? Holy Spirit, will you make me the kind of person that the friends I'm praying for, my own experiences that I'm sharing, I'm empowered this week to be somebody who is like Jesus in my workplace, like Jesus with my friends. There's something about the attractive nature of his love, his power, his compassion, his truth, that just somehow, well, you're infectious. It flows from you to other people. And that prayer, come Holy Spirit, is the prayer that I'd like us to pray in a moment. The big idea that I want to leave you with is the Holy Spirit helps us to be like Jesus in our action, in our character. The question is, how often do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Just before I pray, I just want to tell you a little story of what happened 2 weeks ago. I was in a conference. It was run at Woodlands Church. It was called Release Conference. And it was about 600, 500 Christians from around the area. We were just meeting to talk about the Holy Spirit and particularly about healing. And each session started off with a time of worship, a bit like with Matt and Annie singing here. And on the second day of the conference, in the morning, the worship band started kind of the worship. And the song that they, this is just to show how kind of cynical I am and how much of a sinner I am. The song they sang, I thought, oh no,
We sang that on the first morning. We sang that kind of before lunch on the first day. We saw that before tea. We sang kind of, and we're singing it this morning. So everyone there is kind of worshiping God, and I'm thinking, oh. So I kind of look around at everyone who's worshiping, and it's just, I felt God speaking to me. And they were singing this song. They were singing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. And I just looked around, and just people, they were saying, Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. And in this kind of little cynical moment, I felt God speak to me, and it's like the kind of the ceiling kind of the building disappeared, and the walls disappeared. And actually, it was like these 500 Christians were actually, the picture I saw was outside here, outside at Bristol. And they were in the centre of the city, and they were saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Change the atmosphere. And I was slightly moved by that, but then kind of cynical me kicked in again, because I've been around in the church for a while, and actually I have arranged some kind of big meetings along with Philip, and we have had hundreds if not thousands of Christians singing God's worship in the centre of town, and it hasn't quite changed how we'd hoped. And then it's like I had this kind of these little flashes of one picture after another, and I had a picture of this worker, a financial worker, sat at their computer in this open office. And under their breath, they were singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, change the atmosphere. I had a picture of a nurse in the children's hospital, and as she went into the ward, she, under her breath, she was singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, change the atmosphere. And then there was a woman on a checkout at Asda, and she was waiting for the next customer, and she was singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, change the atmosphere. And a police officer arriving at a crime scene, and as they got out of the car with lights flashing, they were singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, change the atmosphere. And I just felt God said to me, how is a city going to be changed? It's when each one of us says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to with my friends, in my office, where I'm studying. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come change this place. Flood the atmosphere. And the reality is that that's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit can be with you, can be filling you, can be empowering you, empowers you to act like Jesus, empowers you to behave like Jesus. Why? So the infectious love and grace and forgiveness and hope and healing of Jesus can flood our city, can change lives. And so what I'd love to do is, just as we finish, I'd love to pray for each one of us. And I'd love to pray for us that we would, this Pentecost Sunday, we'd find the power of God touching us. That we no longer feel that we couldn't possibly be like Philip or Alex and things they've said, because the Holy Spirit can fill you. He can empower you to do just that. To share your faith, to pray for those in need. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to just say a prayer, and if you'd like this evening to receive something of the Holy Spirit, in a moment or two I'm going to ask you to stand, and you might think, well, that's a silly, it's a bit like asking who's up for world peace, kind of, you might think, well, actually, we all want the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to do is I want you to stand, and as you stand, it's like saying, God, count me in, let your Spirit touch my life. And for some of you, you might not exactly know what that is, and you might receive the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time. For some of you, you might have kind of felt that there's, I've prayed that kind of prayer before. Actually, I did feel another little word of knowledge. I felt there might be somebody here, and you're frightened of being open to Holy Spirit because somebody who is a Christian friend of yours once tried to get you to speak in tongues. And if you know what that is, you know what. And they kind of pressurized you a bit too heavily. And you know what? You've kind of taken a step back and thought, oh, I'm not sure about the spiritual stuff because that really freaked me out. That was actually slightly abusive. And I think God wants to say to you gently this evening, the Father knows how to give good things. They maybe got it wrong, but the Father knows what's right. And so, again, if that's you, kind of along with everyone else, as you stand, that's my prayer. Lord, set me free from fear. Let me receive your Spirit. So we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here. So if tonight you'd like to receive something of the empower of the Holy Spirit to help you to act like Jesus, to behave like Jesus, why don't you stand now?